What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Contact implants promote osseointegration, preserve crestal bone, and simplify your implant procedures. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless integration into digital workflows, the Contact Dental implant is quickly becoming the go-to choice for U.S. dental professionals. Your cases will be supported by a dedicated planning team who can provide surgical guides and answer any technical questions. Experience the difference firsthand. Biotech Dental will provide your first contact implant case completely free, including restorative components and surgical planning support. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable, discover why so many dentists are switching to the contact implant system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com to learn more.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you very, very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com. It's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. So whether you're driving in the big rig, going for a run, sitting in traffic, cleaning the house, or pretending to be working at a job you hate, thank you for bringing me along with you. And I did not deliberately leave anyone out last week. I was trying to spread the love out a little bit. So thanks to JT and Ryan, our Discord moderators, Eric and the Texas crew, Scott in Colorado, Michelle in Virginia, the Indiana team who is currently in the lead for our most supporters by state. Thank you to everyone. It's all of you that keep me motivated to keep on keeping on every day. Warm-up song today is Blister in the Sun by the Violent Femmes. Let me go on like a blister in the sun. Let me go on. Big hands, I know you're the one. Actually, I had a chance to see them live about not like 30 years ago or whatever when that song came out, but it was like about a year or so ago. They did a great job. Also, don't forget to jump over to fancyfortunecookies.com. Check out their tasty custom fortune cookies for all occasions. We've got strawberry, blueberry, black raspberry, chocolate, custom company logos, even the giant fortune cookie that is 5 inches tall, 7 inches wide, and has a foot long customizable fortune on the inside. Use the coupon code BEEKEEPINGFORNEWBIES to get 20% off on your first order. fancyfortunecookies.com. All right, everybody, for those of you who inquired about the cat, thank you for looking out for him and for reaching out. He's doing okay. I have a... Okay, so he had this thing where we figured it out. It's actually a gravy thing. Gravy was causing him to have accidents. Let's just say it that way. That's a really nice way of saying it. So I had a little motion detector camera in the dining room, and we figured that out. So that was we figured out the culprit of what was going on there. Got him on a nice little chicken rice kind of diet. He's hanging in there. So I'm optimistic. I got an article. So somebody had made a comment on Spotify the other day, and it was about a Varroa treatment for, it was stinging nettle, using stinging nettle as a potential control agent for Varroa mite. And it's basically like a vaporized stinging nettle extract. Really cool. So I wanted to thank you. It was a gal who said, I think she said she was like an herbalist, and her name was like Honey Mama or Mama Honey or something. I apologize if I'm getting that wrong. Anyway, thank you for sharing that article with me. I'm going to finish reading through all of it. I did kind of do a preliminary run through of it, and it was in comparison to Formic Pro, which we know is a pretty reliable, you know, approach to treating for Varroa. But it was pretty effective. And obviously, anytime we can use something that's different and natural, it's definitely worth considering. And it was, you know, it did have some effectiveness in the chart that I was scanning through. So I will get this posted up under the documents. It's under, so on the new website, it's going to be under resources. It used to be beekeeping.com/downloads. Now it's just a resources section. And inside the resources section, there is an area for downloads. So we'll get that posted hopefully in the next next day or so, and you can take a look at that. In addition to some of the other changes that I have within the site, I think I mentioned before the experiments, I have some listed out there very generically. We're going to be updating a lot more detail with that, outline the specifics of each experiment. I just don't have the cycles for it now, but we're going to, you know, we got about 6 months before we have to worry about that. Also, probably in the next 10 to 14 days, I'll roll out the new online store. So you'll give you a chance to go get some really cool things like the alpaca shirt that reads, "Want to catch a buzz? Alpaca smoker." Get it? Alpaca smoker? All right. Yeah, we're doing that. Anyway, so I want to let you know that your Buy Me a Coffee dollars are going to a good cause and they're not going to support my methamphetamine habit. But I bought with 100% of the earnings from 2025. Went to buying new package bees, which will be here in 2026. So thank you to all of you for your support there. 100% of those proceeds are gone and out the door. But thank you very much, and we'll have those for next year's experiments and activities, and we'll have a lot more cool stuff with that. If you're like, "Jeff, I'm all for donating, but man, I got to get a tax-deductible donation." We happen to have a 501c3 called the Healing Hive Project. Just stood that up this year. Got a lot of interest. A lot of people are getting involved, building some partnerships and things. So I'm really, really hoping within the next year or so to kind of get more momentum with that. But that certainly is an option as well. Okay, so today is probably going to be one of those days where I lose a couple of podcast listeners because apparently something that should not be political has become political. And I looked online. I was doing a little research on this because I think it's a really, really important topic. And people are really bent out of shape on a lot of online forums. So, I mean, you know how I do things typically. In addition to reporting the facts, I'm probably going to offer an opposing viewpoint, not because I always agree with it, but because I think it's incredibly important that if we ever want to solve any problems, whether it's personally, professionally, politically, maritally, in the community, with a neighbor, wherever, you've got to be willing to look at things from different perspectives and at least attempt to entertain the idea that someone else's thoughts may have merit. I was hearing a few rumors here and there about the proposed closure of the Beltsville Bee Lab. Now, if you're not familiar with this, it's the USDA Beltsville Bee Research Laboratory. It's in Maryland. It is the oldest bee research facility in the U.S., dating back to the 1890s. It is best known for its work on honeybee health, including diseases, pests, pollination. This is where I've talked about it several times. Beekeepers all over, they send in samples for diagnostic testing when they suspect any kind of an issue with a dead out or possible, you know, other type of illness. Maybe it might be secondary to varroa. It could be an herbicide, pesticide type of thing. The lab has played a central role in shaping, you know, modern understanding of colony health and management. Now, full disclosure, I did nowhere near the amount of research that I would have normally done to discuss this today. And the reason for that is because there's way too many people getting incredibly political with the whole thing. And it was just really, really obnoxious to watch grown men and women yelling and crying at each other and just being big babies about the whole thing. So I had to bail out a little bit early on that. So I apologize that I didn't do as much research as I wanted to. I have no tolerance for that. You know, I think it was like 15 or so years ago, I walked away from the political party that I was affiliated with. I have no interest in that. It's all divisive. It's meant to control you. It doesn't benefit anybody. Let me give a little pro tip here. There is no winning side. That's the answer. There is no winning side. If you pick a side, you lose. Okay, that's the answer. Now, back to the subject here. What I will say is, I think if you're familiar with the Beltsville area in Maryland, it's situated like kind of right in the middle on 995 or I-95 or the BW Parkway between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. It's an expensive area. Anything around the D.C. metro Baltimore area, it's expensive. You have these facilities that have been there for a really long time. The cost of living is high. The salaries are high. I'm sure that the people in those communities are happy with their houses and it's a clean neighborhood or whatever. But I mean, I kind of grew up in the region. Both my parents are from the, you know, Jessup, Odenton, Baltimore kind of area. And I'm not trying to pick on it. It's not for me. So I don't like it. And I would not want to be back in that area again, but I am very familiar with it. And certainly there are worse places to be. But when I think of like the home of beekeeping, I don't think of Beltsville, Maryland. But I think what's most irritating is a lot of people seem to be trying to make it sound like this work can only be done in that one location. And if that location goes away, all of the world's going to fall apart and collapse. Nobody can beekeep or do testing or anything. I don't think that's what's going on here. What's happening is they are definitely, well, I think most likely, I think it's highly probable that they are going to shut down that facility. But they're proposing to move things to different parts of the country and disperse them, you know, to other regions. Now, I think the case can be made that having everybody in one place in an established area is great for collaboration. You know, you can, I mean, doing research in a group is a lot easier when I can say, hey, can you come take a look at this? You know, those things are definitely a lot easier face to face, in person. I completely get that. But we also have a tremendous amount of technology with Zoom and WebEx and Microsoft Teams, all these other collaborative applications that we use to communicate. They've been around for a couple of decades now. So we have a methodology in place with which to share data and to communicate. The case can also be made for maybe not putting all your eggs in one basket and putting some things out in other parts of the country just for sort of continuity of business in case of bad weather, natural disaster, anything else that might happen. I think you can also say when you have a government that's sitting on $37-38 trillion in debt, maybe it makes sense to consider the idea of putting people in places where it doesn't cost as much to live so we can save some money on the facilities and the maintenance of those facilities. Now, I read a comment that said, well, there were $174 million spent on upgrades and renovation and maintenance at this campus, which would now be a loss. Now, I view that very differently. I look at this as a pre-sale investment. This is like a 6,600-acre campus in some very prime real estate, and it's all owned by the government. Flip that facility into like an educational campus, lease out some office space to colleges, universities, ag extensions, other research entities, let some of the millions of dollars being handed out in grant money flow back to the government through this facility. They have literally hundreds of thousands of square feet of office and research space. So you can flip that facility from a tax burden to a revenue generating facility for taxpayers. Now, we all know that private industry does things much more efficiently than the government. So let's stop wasting all that space, consolidate things to a point where the right resources are in the right places throughout the USDA and the country. That's just kind of my two cents. Now, we do need to pay attention because, quote, experts warn this could cause lasting harm to the beekeeping industry. No, restructuring and reorganizing, like literally every company does periodically, it helps to streamline operations, right? Bringing these research facilities closer to farmers and ranchers, you know, the people who they're actually doing the work for, is not a bad thing. There's not a farm within like 50 miles of the Beltsville lab. Now, I'm sure you can probably find a couple that have been like overtaxed for a long time, trying to get them to sell to make room for the multi-million dollar homes. But Beltsville is not, again, like the U.S. hub of agriculture, I assure you. Oh, and if you're curious on where I got the million dollar home reference. So my family's farm was off of Clark Road in Jessup, Maryland. And when I was last there a decade ago, they had $750,000 homes on those townhouses. So I'm assuming by now they're worth about $1 million. And I remember my granddad years ago, Williams Construction was trying to get my granddad to sell. When he died, they wanted my grandmother to sell. And ultimately my dad sold to somebody years later. But the taxation was atrocious back in the 80s. And I know it's even worse now. So not a whole lot of big farming and agriculture going down in that area. Eating healthy can feel like a chore sometimes, right? But I've found something that makes it easy and delicious. Washington Red Raspberries. These aren't just any frozen berries. They're grown by family farmers in Washington State, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients. We're talking fiber, antioxidants, vitamin C, real nutrition with no added sugar, just fruit as nature intended. I toss them into smoothies, stir them into yogurt, and even top my oatmeal with them. They're so fresh and full of flavor, I actually look forward to eating healthier. And honestly, it feels so good knowing I'm supporting American family farms every time I grab a bag, and you'll know they're grown right here in the U.S. because it says so on the package. You can find Washington Red Raspberries at Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. Look for them in Kirkland's 3-Berry Blend, Smucker's Raspberry Jam, Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables, or those True Fruit chocolate-covered raspberries I can't stop snacking on. Want recipes, tips, or to see all the places you can find them? Go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org.
What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Contact implants promote osseointegration, preserve crestal bone, and simplify your implant procedures. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless integration into digital workflows, the Contact Dental implant is quickly becoming the go-to choice for U.S. dental professionals. Your cases will be supported by a dedicated planning team who can provide surgical guides and answer any technical questions. Experience the difference firsthand. Biotech Dental will provide your first contact implant case completely free, including restorative components and surgical planning support. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable, discover why so many dentists are switching to the contact implant system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com to learn more.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So another fun statement that was made in support of the Bee Lab: honeybees are vital to the world's food supply, but their populations have been mostly in decline over the past two decades due to various factors including habitat loss, pesticide use, global warming, the rapid evolution of pathogens and antibiotic resistance. So let's run through a few of these and see what's maybe true or false. Is habitat loss a thing? Absolutely. I saw this at my own apiary. We had about 700 total acres of land loaded with big, beautiful, mature hardwoods and trees all around. It was all clear cut. And of course, what happened is other plants grew immediately. Very quickly, plants and other things started to grow in place. And, you know, now, obviously, there are other wildflowers and things that are there. Certainly doesn't replace the volume of trees that we used to have and the amount of forage that was once there. But new construction, building roads, you know, like that bumper sticker used to say years ago, farmland lost is farmland lost forever. But you know what the bees do? They keep on flying. So just like in nature, when there's a fire and everything burns a large area of the forest, the surviving animals and insects and all living things, they just relocate a little bit and they start over. They've been doing it for thousands of years and they will keep doing it. Is pesticide use a problem? Sure. It always has been. It probably won't get much better. But is it a problem for all honeybees and for everybody? I don't think so. I think if you're in a large agricultural area and you're communicating with other farmers and you're doing your due diligence, much of that challenge, much of those problems can be mitigated. But I certainly recognize that, you know, things do happen. I mean, every year I get a handful of people reaching out and they've had, you know, pesticide related issues and discussions. But is it a top 10 issue? Like, I remember Randy Oliver was talking about this like about a year or so ago when he said that everybody was complaining about some place in the Midwest for all the neonicotinoid use, and yet these bee colonies were producing, you know, 100 pounds of surplus honey. So again, is it a problem or a consideration or something to be mindful of? Sure. Is it causing a complete collapse of the system as we know it? I don't know. Now, we do need to talk about my favorite subject, which of course is global warming and climate change. Now, I don't think it takes a degree of any type to figure out that our planet is comprised of millions of ecosystems and sub-ecosystems, and we are in a constant state of change. Right? If you know anything about like basic scientific methods, like you have a control thing that you don't change, you have individual variables that you do change, and then you can make comparisons. Our world literally has an infinite number of variables constantly changing. We are in a constant state of change. It is 100% impossible and irresponsible to just broadly blame literally everything that goes wrong as, air quotes, climate change. Right? To me, by making that statement, one, it implies that all change is bad, which that's what we're led to believe, and I don't think that's the case. I think we are absolutely destroying our planet at every turn. Our air quality is terrible. Our food systems are a joke. Our waterways are absolutely atrocious. We are 100% responsible for a lot of the health and the social problems that we as humans are experiencing. But until people, you know, specifically researchers, stop being lazy and start doing the research and the reporting on the specifics of what they're doing, how they're doing it, how they propose to address problems, versus simply screaming climate change during every discussion. It's not, you're solving absolutely nothing. I think we as a scientific community have to be held to a higher standard. I mentioned this. I have a great professor in one of my classes, and I mentioned this to her. I was like, hey, you know, you're a doctor, PhD. Like, you've been doing this for a long time. I'm like, help me understand why we allow the scientific community to get away with this. And we had a really good dialogue and discussion about that. But you can't just say that. You have to come out with facts and figures and real things. We just got to do better. So new pathogens. Now, I think new pathogens are always to be expected. We're always going to, as humans, we're going to have new viruses, new different types of bacteria. Just like with mite resistance, we're going to have certain bacteria and things that are going to be resistant to antibiotics and other things. So they point out all these new pathogens. I'm not aware of an influx of new pathogens affecting bees, and we still have Nosema, foul brood, sack brood, chalk brood, you know, lots of viruses transmitted by varroa. And of course, we still have the challenge with some people in the community telling people that treating honeybees for varroa is a bad thing. So we're definitely going to have problems with varroa bombs and then having to apply more treatments to our bees to make up for the more mites that we're getting from the people who aren't treating and controlling them. And yes, over time, resistance is going to build up. But you know what happens in nature? Things adapt or they die. If we ceased managing honeybees, within a few years, two things are going to happen. Well, a lot is going to happen, but the two most relevant. Number one, native pollinators are going to step up, and within a few years, things will be thriving again. Number two, honeybees that have figured out how to manage varroa on their own would continue to swarm and reproduce, and varroa would no longer be an issue, just like the hygienic Asian honeybees have figured out. The European honeybees can do the same thing. I think the only reason, really, that any bee losses even make the news is because of the multi-million dollar monoculture almond orchards and the things that are again, 100% man-made. Like, you would never have that much of a concentration of trees in one area. It's all man-made. And, you know, everything needs balance. I mean, ask Mr. Miyagi. He'll tell you all about that. This is why we need millions of colonies to go to California every year, because they stuck all the trees in one place. Now, I get it. They have the climate for it. But it still isn't natural. It's not a natural way of doing things. So when you're doing things in a non-natural way, you occasionally are going to get non-natural results. But I think the way that a lot of people try to make it sound is like they want people to believe that there were no fruits and vegetables in North America until, thank God, those who came from Europe and settled what is now the U.S. saved all the Native Americans and brought them honeybees. You know, the fun fact here is that native pollinators can handle things on their own. The bees displace the native pollinators, not the other way around. So technically, they're kind of the invasive species. But I want to read this one more time before I jump to the next note. Honeybees are vital to the world's food supply, but their populations have been mostly in decline over the past two decades. Now, I pulled I literally went to the top of the list and just copied the top six or seven out of like 80 that showed up here. Here we go. Global hive numbers have surged. As of 2023, there are approximately 102 million managed colonies worldwide, reflecting a 47% increase since 1990. Two of them together, U.S. honeybee colonies possibly at a record high, but figures are disputed. The USDA's 2022 agricultural census estimated 3.8 million colonies, a 25% jump over 2017. Now, we do have something that is another article that is in contradiction to this. It says it's somewhere between 2.7 and 2.9 million, but still significant increase there. Bee farms booming in Tennessee. Tennessee had a 7% increase between 17 and 2022. U.S. bee farms are currently growing fastest among livestock categories. Since 2007, the U.S. has seen over 1 million new honeybee colonies added, making them the fastest growing type of livestock in the country. So there's a couple of examples right there that I pulled from, like I said, it was like 80 or 90. I don't remember. There were just a ton of articles supporting growth. And I recognize that we did have some significant losses last year with the ametraz and the mite resistance to ametraz. I get that. But if anybody who's been beekeeping for a year or so or more can tell you, what do you do in the spring? You split your colonies, right? And it's really, really easy to do a one-to-one. So now you take one, now you have two. It's really, really easy to do some queen grafting, make some cell builders, and be doing, you know, 20, 25 queens per week per cell builder. It's not that hard to replace this, right? This is not the end of the world. Just like everything else in the world, right? People want watch time. They want more clicks. They want more engagement. the best way to control people and to get their attention is to try to keep everybody scared. But don't be scared, be prepared. Okay, so to summarize things here a little bit, is the B-Lab leaving Beltsville, Maryland? Yeah, maybe, probably. I think there's a pretty good chance, based on what I'm seeing, that it's probably going to leave. If it does, it'll just pick up somewhere else in another part of the country. It might be broken down into different groups and segments. So for those of you who, you know, pre-printed all your shipping labels for the samples you plan to send to Beltsville, you might be out a few dollars and you might have to get some new ones. I don't think the testing of bees and that service is going anywhere other than a new town. And worst case scenario, if it does, a nonprofit can step up, they can take over the activity, they can do it faster and better than the government ever did. The government can funnel millions of dollars to them, and it'll be a win-win for everyone. Well, I mean, except for the taxpayers, because we have, you know, we're obviously going to have to pick up the check for that. But, you know, if we have millions of dollars to send to other countries all over the world for some of the things that I've seen them sending money for, I'm sure a few million to an NGO for a honeybee testing facility will be a drop in the bucket, and they'll be able to figure it out. Okay, everybody, so I hope that that wasn't too angry or controversial. It drives me insane that everything has to get twisted into some kind of political this, and like, it's frustrating. You know, my daughter saw the same thing when she was trying to do some work out west, where new administration takes over. They tell all these different entities in the government, hey, you guys got to make some cuts. You got to save some money. So what do? They don't cut the top. They don't cut the top. They don't cut middle management. They cut all the people down at the bottom. So when they say, oh, 4,000 people at, you know, Department of Interior or whatever lost their jobs. Yeah, well, they're not 4,000 upper management people, right? They cut at the bottom. And it's just, I don't know, everything just seems to be, no matter where you are, what you do, it's just always some way trying to have some political angle to it. And it's pretty frustrating, but it is what it is. And we just got to keep on keeping on here. But that's all I've got for you today. So take care, be kind to one another. Remember that I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Contact implants promote osseointegration, preserve crestal bone, and simplify your implant procedures. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless integration into digital workflows, the Contact Dental implant is quickly becoming the go-to choice for U.S. dental professionals. Your cases will be supported by a dedicated planning team who can provide surgical guides and answer any technical questions. Experience the difference firsthand. Biotech Dental will provide your first contact implant case completely free, including restorative components and surgical planning support. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable, discover why so many dentists are switching to the contact implant system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com to learn more.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.